was great, Dave, and the team. Thanks a lot. Yeah, that was very good. I've had a great cold all week. Who else has been afflicted? Yeah. Ruby's currently down in Christchurch seeing her mother. So she went down on Thursday. Yeah, and what other news do we have in our family? This family. Anybody? We've mentioned David and Jenny with their little one. Anybody else got news? Is there any news? This is a postponement tactic. Any other news in the family? So Kat is saying that Mark, your dad, Mark Beale, he came home this last week. On Tuesday. Wow. He has been, I mean, you and your mother, Mark and his wife, your parents, yes, they have been through something. Ruth, yeah. So how long's that all been for now? About 2 months? That is a long time. Yeah. I wonder if someone could just stand and pray just for the Beale wider family. Could someone just stand and pray for them? Who would like to do that? Is there anyone? Yeah, thank you.
Lord God, it's just so awesome to hear that Mark has come home, and I've heard what a stroke has been for the whole family, not just for Barbara, but for Tim and Ruth and Captain and Dave and the rest of the Beales and their sort of partners and things like that. We just are so grateful that that he can be home that's where you want him to be, and he does such great work in the community of Camden and Manurewa, and we just pray for continued healing so he can continue your work in that amazing community of Camden, because we know the people that know that area as you do, that we need him there to continue the great work that he's doing in Jesus' name.
Thanks, Ben. We had a funeral here on Wednesday afternoon. I tell you, I was just so taken by it. just to see a family at work, actually. And Colin, who died, was just loved by the 5 kids. There were 4 great... grandkids. I mean, the list is as long as this. And what really was quite touching was that even the in-law type people and the family whānau liked Colin as well. and it kind of was a measure of the man, that he was really well liked by all. And I was just so taken by that. And so our thoughts, Graham and Fiona and Chris and Melanie, and I mean, I could go through all the names, but our thoughts are still with you guys. Yeah, must have been a very emotionally tiring week. Yeah. Any other news? Yeah. Roland. Yeah, thank you, Roland. Yeah. So, Roland and Belinda, 3 weeks ago now, you had a little one. So, they're sick at home now? Yes, I think I picked up my cold from Belinda when I came visiting last Saturday. So, yeah. Anyway, anybody else with news that you'd like to share? Just like to stand up. Peggy, would you like to... Yeah, carry on. Sandy, sorry. I keep calling you Peggy. I think it's the hair. No. Sandy, sorry.
So Diva starts her conditioning for her bone marrow transplant.
Yeah.
So if all goes well, then they'll go forward. But if not, then they'll stop it. But this is the last scenario, and this is the what we can do. She's nearly two. She'll be two in September. She's held in there, but she also broke her leg last week. Yeah, so poor little button. So tomorrow I start with doing my shifts up at Starship, and yeah, hoping that the preparation for the bone marrow will be go well.
Wow. Yeah. So the little one's name again?
Sativa.
Sativa. And 2 years, it was leukemia, is that right? Yeah. I wonder if, Lois, you could pray. Do you mind? Yeah. Thank you, Peggy. Sandy.
Well, you get my name wrong, I'm unaccountable for anything.
Yeah, that's right. Any other news here from anybody? Anybody like to share whatever? This is awesome. Yes, Steph.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So our friend Jason has gone to Mexico for a month. It's work related, but he wouldn't mind me saying he's a mate. That he does need our prayers at this time. Yeah. So I wonder if who knows Jason here. That thanks, Kev. Could you pray, mate? Thank you. Amen. Very good. Anyone else? Yes, Grace. So she's going back to Fiji? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else? How about you pray with the person next to you now? But if those who would prefer not to, that's quite all right. No, honestly. You can just silently sit and meditate. That's cool. But pray with someone next to you. Yeah. Okay, friends. What we're going to do this morning is I've just got some thoughts that I want to share out of the book of Acts. So if you've got Bibles, there are Bibles out the back there on the corner there. If someone wants to, thanks, Chris. If you just want to go out and grab one, it's always good to bring your Bibles and or tap into your Bibles on your cell phones. Thanks, Chris. Anyone else need a Bible? Okay, anyone? Cool. I think we're right there, Chris. Thanks. If you've got your Bibles, can we go to Acts chapter 1 and to verse 15? Okay, verse 15. And it says this. Acts chapter 1 and verse 15. And it says this. During this time, so this is where we're up to, when about 120 believers were together in one place, Peter stood up and addressed them. Now, there's another version that says, during this time when about 120 believers were together, in those days, Peter stood up. So that's all I want to talk on. Now you can understand why it's taken 2 months for us to get to verse 15. But, I mean, I'm a bit of a teacher, and there was a phrase that this last week sort of captured me. I was going to take the message in a bit of a different direction, but that phrase, in those days, Peter stood up. Do you have that in your translation, in those days? Yeah, some of you do. In those days, what does it say in yours, Alex? In those days, Peter stood up. Oh, it does actually say that. Yeah, so in those days, Peter stood up. And I was just so taken by that phrase. So here's my question to you this morning, though, is what is the connection between this phrase, in those days, Peter stood up, and the Narnia eclipse? Do you remember the Narnia eclipse? There were two parts. See if you, because you're a bright lot, especially on Sunday morning at 10. What are the connections between in those days Peter stood up and those two Narnia clips? Tell the person next to you. See if you can draw the dots together. Go to it. It's a hard one. You got it, sus, mate? Did you get it? It is too hard, isn't it? It's almost impossible from the limited amount of information that I've given. So I won't even ask for some views at this point, but I will. Do you think you got it, Ben? Did you think you got it? Mary, have you got it? No, you haven't got it. No, okay. But let's pray first, eh? Let's pray. Jesus, this is a time where I think it's a subversive hour when we come like this on a Sunday morning when so many other people are attending to their idols. We kind of make our way to this place to worship the one true God. And that's an act of defiance. I think it's brilliant. And so we do come and to worship you this morning, O King Jesus, before all other things. But we also come to hear what the Spirit of the Lord might be saying to us. And so give us ears to hear as we just briefly explore this phrase. And I ask this in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so in those days, when you hear that phrase "in those days," what does that imply? There were other days. Oh. And in other words, there was another time in Peter's life. And so now I want you to come to that other time in earlier days. Okay, so if you can come with me to Luke chapter 22 and verse 54. So if you could turn that up, Luke 22 and verse 54. So these are earlier days. And it says this. Have you got it? Luke 22 and verse 54. And let me read. So they arrested Jesus and led him to the high priest's home. And Peter, he followed at a distance. And the guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it. And Peter joined them there. Now a servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at Peter. And finally she said, "This man, he was one of Jesus' followers." But Peter denied it. "Woman," he said, "I don't even know him." I mean, this is incredible. I mean, for those who don't know, I mean, Peter had just done 3 quality years with Jesus. And now he's just he's flicking Jesus off. "I don't even know him." And then after a while, someone else looked at Peter and said, "Hey, you must be one of them." "No, man, I'm not," Peter retorted. And then about an hour later, someone else insisted, "Oh, this must be one of them, because he's a Galilean too." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you were talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And it's the significance of that is to follow. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And suddenly the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Because Jesus said this to Peter before this incident. "Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny 3 times that you even know me." And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. So here's my thing this morning, people. I mean, I was just captured by that phrase in Acts. That in those days, Peter stood up. And I thought, wow, this guy has changed. I mean, in earlier days, he sat down and he cowered in a corner and he denied Jesus 3 times. But in these days, later on, Peter is the first to stand up and speak. And I'm thinking, this guy has experienced life change. I mean, in earlier days, he was a major disappointment. But now, he's standing up in determination. And I don't know about you, but I love it when I read about people who have changed. And I read this and I think, that's incredible. I mean, how do you go from here, major disappointment, to there, standing up? How do you go from here to there? I mean, how does that happen? How do people change like that? That's what really, I love reading stories about people changing. Do you like those? Where you're just reading and you see people who've really gone through life change. Because, I mean, I'm personally, I still want to change. I know you want me to change too. But there's something in me, even at my age of coming to 57 soon. I was at someone's birthday yesterday, and we're all seated around. We went to a goat farm. Fancy going to a goat farm on someone's birthday. But anyway, we were at this goat farm yesterday afternoon, and then we were just trying out the cheese, you know, as you do. And we were trying out the cheese. And then someone said to me, they didn't know me, these people. And they said, "Oh, how old are you, Mick?" And I said, "Oh, I'm 3 years off 60. They couldn't believe it.
I'm just having an ego moment now. But anyway, so I felt really good. But I honestly, as a 57-year-old, I want to still change. No, I do. There's something, that's still my quest. And I love it when I read about other people who have changed. Obviously, he was a major disappointment in earlier days, and now he's standing up in determination. The guy's changed. How did that happen for Peter? Come with me to John 21. Okay? Come to John 21. And we'll pick it up at verse 15. And these are wonderful, wonderful scriptures. John 21 and verse 15, and it says this. Now, in this episode here, this is the first time that Jesus and Peter are interacting after Peter had denied Jesus. And they just had a barbie and a brekkie, and it goes like this. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" I mean, do you know this passage? It's fantastic. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know that I love you." "Then feed my lambs." Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know that I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time, he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." Do you know, friends, that text here, see this? That text, I think, has to be the greatest interchange between two people in the entire scriptures. In fact, some would even say that dialogue between Jesus and Peter is the greatest, most spectacular interchange in all of literature. Now, I want to look into that text a bit because there's a secret there in terms of life change. I want to tell a story to help set the scene. I used to study at Oxford in England, and I had a professor there. And the professor, and you may have read him, was Tom Wright. Has anybody read Tom Wright? I didn't think he was known in South Auckland. So, that was said kindly, it wasn't a criticism. Tom Wright, he's now considered the most leading theologian in the world. Okay? He's a lovely guy, big-hearted guy. I was in a small group with him, that kind of thing. Let me tell you a true story about Tom Wright and his wife, Maggie. You see, he's this famous, big, all-time, you know, theologian type. And it was their practice to invite people for dinner. So one day, they invited the student for dinner. So the student thought, wow, I get to be in the house at the dinner table with the famous Tom Wright, you know. And so the student rocks up, true story, and the student is so excited. Oh, you know what it's like if you suddenly get to go to have a meal with me. You know, you're just so enthusiastic, you're just, you know. So anyway, the student rocks up to Tom and Maggie's place, and you know when you're sort of so excited you're a little bit nervous? And you kind of get too kind of adrenalized, too, do you know what I mean? Just too. And so this guy was, you know, just over the top a bit in enthusiasm about being there. So they sat around the table, they had their meal, and he spoke a little bit too much, you know, as you do in your nervousness, your excitement, you know. And then at the end of the meal, Tom said, "Well, let's clean up. This is a true story. Let's clean up." So they go into the kitchen, and the student suddenly stands up, says, "I'll help." You know, he's keen as, you know, keen as mustard. So he stood up and walked into the kitchen. Where's the tea towel? You know, so in his kind of nervous excitement, he just wanted to help. And the inevitable happened. What do you think happened? Yeah, that's it. So a family jewel, a priceless vase. Is it vase or vase? Vase. A priceless vase that had been specially gifted to the family. It was like super expensive. And him and the student's eagerness and excitement, he's, you know, with the tea towel. I've got a tea towel. Oh, here's a tea towel. And in the, you know, his nervous excitement, he just turned around as someone else was turning around. And of course, the vase, it broke. Fell to the floor. And it broke. Okay. So the guy, the student, was shattered, as was the glass. And you know, he sort of, come the end of the night, he sort of wanders out. And then Tom and Maggie think, they're super disappointed, actually. I mean, that vase had been specially gifted. And they think, what do we do with this guy? Obviously, he's devastated, you know. So do you know what they decide to do? 2 weeks later, they invite him for another meal. So he comes around for a meal. And, you know, they go through the whole thing. And it gets to the end of the meal. And then Tom does his normal routine. The English are like this. Tom does his normal routine. And he says, okay, it's time to clean up. And, of course, everybody knows what's happening. And then Maggie turns to the student and says, would you like to help us out in the kitchen? And there's all this deathly silence, you know. And the student said, yes, okay. So the student walks in, and then Tom hands him the tea towel. And everybody, without anything being said, can remember what had happened prior, 2 weeks earlier. And the student picks up the tea towel and begins the task of drying the dishes again. Now, what's the connection between that little story and this passage here? Well, it goes like this. You see, in this passage of John 21, in verse 15, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John. Now, did you notice? At this point, Jesus didn't call him Peter. He said, Simon, son of John. Peter was Peter's nickname. Now, this is formal. And Jesus wants to have a conversation with Peter. This is the first time they've interacted after the great denial episode. So Jesus comes and says, Simon, son of John. And then, did you notice what happens next? I just think Jesus is brilliant with people. First things first, first things first. He says to Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Jesus is being really vulnerable here. I mean, Jesus has already communicated his love to Peter. It's like, you know, when you're courting for the very first time and you think, well, I'll declare my hand. Have you ever done this? And you declare your hand and you think, but if I declare my hand, you know, what hand will they declare? You know, what will be their comeback? I remember Ruby, actually, in our relationship, she was the first to declare the hand. Do you know what happened? So we're in this little red mini. I wasn't going to say this, but I'm on a roll. So she was in her little red mini in Christchurch. And I was just getting out, you know. And she was the first to declare. And she said, oh, she said, Michael, she said, I just want to tell you that I love you. Do you know what I did? I said nothing. What I did was I walked out of the car, got out of the car, slammed the door, and didn't get in touch with her for 2 months. Oh. Yeah. She's still with me 33 years later. Here's the thing. So Jesus, he's made himself vulnerable, eh? Like Ruby made herself vulnerable. But here, Jesus, he's declared his love, and then he says to Simon, son of John, nicknamed Peter, he says, "Do you love me?" And here's my question this morning, if you're interested. How many times? Now, I have a question. You see, Jesus asked this three times. Now, my question is, why three times? I mean, why three? Why not two? Or why not four? Why did Jesus ask three times? And it says, Kathy reckons she's got it, it says that on the third time, Simon, son of John, nicknamed Peter, was hurt. Why was he hurt on the third time? So have a little wee chat. Go to it. Okay, guys? I mean, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. You got it, haven't you? I mean, there's two texts that we've done this morning, Luke 22 and John 21. And what's the common feature between them? Three. So, when Jesus was asking three times, "Do you love me?" what did Simon, son of John, nicknamed Peter, remember? The three times he had denied. In other words, you see, Jesus knew that there was some unfinished business between him and Simon, son of John, nicknamed Peter. Jesus knew that there was unfinished stuff. And I love it with Jesus. He always gets straight to the point. He actually goes to where the pain is, actually. And if there's unfinished business between him and others, he gets to it. Do you like that? It's hard, but at least he's straight up. So he kind of gets to it. He gets to the pain. You know, like last week, Tuesday evening, I cooked gurnard. Have you ever cooked gurnard? Of course you have. You know, I bought it at Southmore, you know, went and got the gurnard. And then I cooked the gurnard and then asparagus. It's a nice meal, actually. I can give you the recipe later. Gurnard, asparagus, and so forth and so on. But do you have one of those houses that if you cook salmon or if you cook fish, that, and you might do it on the Tuesday like I did, do you have one of these houses like on Wednesday? You know, you've been out all day and you open the door and you walk in and there is this filthy smell. Do you have one of those houses? We do. And even on Thursday, I know what we had for dinner on Tuesday, because what happens in our house is that there is a... Who else has a house like that? Am I the only one? There is a lingering smell. Now, this is what's going on here. That there is a lingering smell between Jesus and Peter. There's some unfinished business. There's something that's hanging around. And so Jesus goes straight to it, straight to the pain, okay? Straight to it. And on the three times, I love this, on the three times, Peter says, "Yeah, I love you." And do you know what Jesus' response was? Jesus didn't say, oh, great, awesome, that's so cool, oh, it's all good. He didn't do that. Do you know what he did? He handed Peter the tea towel. He says, "Well, I have a task for you to do then. Feed my lambs. You know, take care of my church." So each time that Peter says, yeah, I love you, Jesus didn't respond with, "Oh, thank goodness that's in your heart. Oh, praise the Lord." He didn't say that, did he? He says, "Oh, I have a task for you to do. Here's a task.
Now, I've got to finish. Here's my point, if you haven't got it yet. My point is this, is that Jesus, now you've got to hear this. You see, in the heart of Peter, in the heart of Peter, was a love for Jesus. In the heart of Peter, there was a love for Jesus. And despite what Peter had done, Jesus wanted to find that love and give Peter another chance. Did you get that? In the heart of Peter, there was a love for Jesus. And despite what Peter had done, Jesus wanted to find that love in Peter and give Peter another chance. Did you get that? And I love this passage because it bespeaks to us of the Lord of the second chance. Do you like that? The Lord of the second chance and the 30th chance. You know, there was this businessman. You might have heard of this guy. His name is Tom Watson. Tom Watson. And he started, have you heard of IBM? He started IBM. He was the founder, Tom Watson. And he ran that company for 40 years. And multi-millionaire, all this kind of stuff. This comes out of the, you know, the business page. Just incredible. And he was the great big CEO and all this kind of stuff. And he took on younger workers. And they became kind of executives of various departments. And there was one guy, and his job was to kind of invest monies. This is true. And one day he invested $10 million, company money. And it was a risk that just fell through the floorboards. It didn't come off. He lost $10 million. So Tom Watson, the CEO, the founder of IBM, he asks for this young guy to come into his office. And this young guy, he's got it all worked out. He knows what's going to happen. So he comes into the office of the great CEO, Tom Watson, and he says, well, I guess you've heard, and I guess you want my resignation. I've already written it up. Here it is. This is what he says. And Tom Watson replies, you have got to be joking. I mean, I've just put you through a $10 million education. And do you really think that I'm now going to let you go? And you see, in a way, that's like Jesus with you. And it was Jesus with Peter. Jesus had just invested his life in the crucifixion. Hugely expensive. A massive risk. And you think, honestly, he was now going to let Peter go? No, instead, what did Jesus do? He gave him the tea towel. Gave him the tea towel. Did you read the Herald last weekend? To finish? In the Herald, there was an article about Pat Mesiti. Did you read that? Have you heard of Pat Mesiti? Have you heard of Hillsong Church in Sydney, Australia? How many have heard of Hillsong? Pat Mesiti, he was a high flyer in that church. You know, through the 90s, right up to 2001, he was a well-known Christian celebrity, traveled, spoke. He had it all, two kids, a wife, loved him, Pat Mesiti. And then his life was like a train wreck. And I'm not going to go into details because we don't need to. But I just need to say that bad. He went bad of his own admission, really bad. And it got so bad for him. Do you know he went through a two-year period after all the badness where he could not talk? It's mental health just suffered. Terrible, terrible. And then I picked up the Herald last weekend and there was an article about Pat Mesiti. and he's flying again. He's doing some good stuff. This is 7-8 years later. And when I read that, I thought, this is brilliant. This is fantastic. Jesus has come to him and given him the tea towel. It's just brilliant. So what about us? What's the point of application for us? Well, I don't think many of us are like Peter, actually. You know, Peter, he overtly denied Jesus publicly and just said to all the people that were gathered around, he's nothing to me. I don't think many of us would do that in this room. I think if we were pressed, we would own the fact that we're Christ followers. Is that right? So I don't think that Peter's issue is our issue on that one. What about Pat Mesiti? You know, I mean, he did some really bad stuff. I actually think most of us in this room wouldn't do that stuff. There would be maybe one or two on the law of averages. But most of us in this room, nah, we wouldn't be doing the Pat Mesiti stuff. I know that. So I kind of thought, how do we do denial? Do you know what I mean? How do we deny Jesus? How would you and I deny Jesus? And here's my theory. I wonder if some of us in this room, the desires of our hearts are way out of whack. In other words, I wonder if some of us in this room, we have disordered desires. And we're giving the desires of our hearts to other things. And we're becoming distracted by our work, actually. And we've made work in our lives way too important. It's almost like we have an excessive love for our work. And we're being distracted by work and so many other things that actually Jesus might need to come to us and say, do you love me? Or have you given the desires of your heart to other things, actually? And so he's wondering, do you love me? Do you love me? It's a subtle form of denial where we are distracted by so many other things. And that our hearts aren't for the one thing, really. Really. And I do think there are some in this room, and work is way too important, actually. And home might be way too important. And Jesus is wondering, do you love me? Do you love me? Because do you know what I reckon? He knows. He knows there's a love for Jesus in your heart. He knows that. And despite the ways in which we deny him, he wants to find that love. And then hand you a tea towel. I think it's brilliant. Let's all stand. We're going to sing a song, and it's called I Surrender. And it's Dave wants to do it upbeat a bit, and I think that's right, because this is a positive message. It's not a negative one. There is a love for Jesus in our hearts. There is. Can I have an amen on that? Amen. There is. And just sometimes, Jesus wants to find that love. And then he gives us a tea towel and he says, I've got a new task for you. I think it's brilliant. So I surrender all.